Well, good afternoon, brethren. I was watching something, and this lady came on. Said her young boy came out, and he was saying, "I wish Jesus was here." And so she was wondering, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, I have a question. Well, maybe I could answer it." And he said, "No, you wouldn't be able to answer it." And she persisted. And so he said, How can God be if he never got started? Hey, God's here. How'd he get started if he never got started? Well, everything we know has to get started. We have to get started. Spiritually speaking, we have to get started. And there is a way to get started. My title today is The Trumpet and the Temple of God. The Trumpet and the Temple of God. You know, starting the kingdom of God here on earth. First, I'd like to review a little history of the temple of God and trumpets. We'd have to go clear back to Mount Sinai. Overview. And Mr. Caping mentioned this, and I had to agree that maybe the first documented instance of a trumpet being blown from heaven to call God's people to him, be at Mount Sinai. Maybe someone knows another place. We can talk about it later. But, in Exodus 19, 16, 20, I won't have time to turn all these scriptures. I just want to give a little overview. The mountain was enveloped in smoke. It was the mountain that was enveloped. And there was a huge trumpet blast, long and loud. Very scary. And all Israel was able to hear this. And also, as it says in Deuteronomy 9, verse 10, that all Israel heard God's voice. And also, it says that some also heard and saw God's form. It was 70 that went partway up the mountain. UCG commentator Terry says that this was possibly in the person of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And then we know Moses came down. Israel had made an idol of gold from the earrings from Egypt. I don't know how big this idol was, but it's made out of gold from Egypt. So, you know, we see pictures of a big calf. Maybe it's a little tiny calf. I don't know. And, of course, David, he threw the stones down or the tablets and broke them. And later, Moses said in Exodus 33, and this certainly we can identify with this, he said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." How many times have you thought that in your life? God, if you're not going to be with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to face this. And then, of course, the idol, the golden calf, then God instituted the sacrifices and the building of the tabernacle. And I probably won't read this right now, but Jeremiah 7, verse 23, it says, well, I'll just read it. We won't have to turn to it. "For I did not speak to your fathers or commanded them out when I brought them out of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But God did say, but this is what I commanded them, obey me and I will be your God." Well, they sinned, sacrifices instituted, the tabernacle was built, And in Exodus 40, 34 and 35, we see that tabernacle was filled with the glory of God. And that was the same cloud that led Israel, you know, by a cloud. We'd have to look back in Exodus 13. But it was a portable tabernacle. When God moved, they moved the tabernacle. It moved when God moved. I think we'll see that now we are the temple or the tabernacle of God, and we move when God moves. And probably later I'll read Revelation 14, verse 4. These are the people. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Israel followed the cloud wherever it went. And the Lamb will follow Jesus Christ wherever He goes. If you want to know who the first fruits are, just see who's following the Lamb wherever He goes. Israel fell into idolatry and the tabernacle, and it was at Shiloh later in the time of Joshua, and it was destroyed. Yes, it was destroyed. You see records of that in Psalm 78, 60, verse 64. I forsook that tent in Shiloh, and I delivered my strength into captivity, or it was delivered into captivity, and His glory into His enemies' hands. The tabernacle had almost become like an idol. Oh, we got the tabernacle. We got the ark. One time they took the ark out of from Shiloh so they could go to battle. They thought it would give them victory. Well, they lost the battle and the ark was captured by the Philistines. A lesson, I think, for us. We're the tabernacle of God, which we'll see. If we don't follow and we let false gods in to that tabernacle, God will forsake it. And then later that the ark was taken from Shiloh. Well, that was actually what happened is they took the ark out of Shiloh to their camp because they thought that'd give them victory. But the Philistines captured it. And the high priest's two sons, we wouldn't want to go back and read all about them, but they were very corrupt. They were killed. They were very corrupt priests. And this was God's priests. Being so corrupt, they were maybe having prostitutes and taking money for sacrifices, stealing the sacrifices. So then the ark was put in Abinadab's house. At least 20 years had passed, I believe, when that was written. Later, the ark was there longer, apparently, because it's still there in the time of David. All right. Then the ark was moved to Gibeon. And there in 1 Chronicles 21, we see the account of David numbering Israel. The scripture says, Satan stood up against Israel, using David to number Israel. Satan wants us to depend on numbers and physical things. David's numbering Israel. Well, how many people? What kind of army could I have? And of course, God was not happy. And He gave David three choices, as He does us. Generally gives us three choices. He said, you can have 3 years of famine, 3 months defeated by your foes, or 3 days with the sword of the Lord. So what do you think David chose? Well, he chose, hey, I'll go with the Lord. David said, don't let me fall into the hands of the enemy, but I'll go with God and He will determine. So David pleaded with God there, and about that time David was instructed by the angel of the Lord to erect an altar on a threshing floor of Arnan, a Jebusite. It's interesting that when John the Baptist, what he said, Luke 3:17, John the Baptist said, his winnowing fan is in his hand. Winnowing fan separated chaff from wheat. So there's always chaff in the wheat. And it says Jesus Christ winnows that with the right time. And there in 1 Chronicles 22, David declared, "This is the house of the Lord." There where he built that altar, on that threshing floor, later the temple was built. And David began to gather supplies for that building. And that's then, of course, then David decides he'll bring the ark out of Abinadab's house. And then, you know, the incident of Uzzah touching the ark. Well, Uzzah grew up in that house. They knew what the ark was. And then the priest, they actually, later the temple was built, the priest placed the ark in the temple. And at that time, I could turn there, I should, 2 Chronicles 5, chapter 5, in verse 7, it says, "Then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most high place, under the wings of the cherubims." So then here, after the temple is constructed, then the Ark is brought in. And in verse 13, "Indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers as one to make one sound to be heard." Here we see the trumpets again. We saw them at Mount Sinai and at Solomon's temple. "And when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Eternal, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, cymbals, instruments of music, and praise the Eternal, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.'" That then we see what happened. That the house of the Eternal was filled with the cloud. So that the priest could not continue ministry because of the cloud. "For the glory of the Eternal filled the house of God." It filled the house of God. It also, with the tabernacle, when it was erected, the smoke and the power and the glory of God filled that tabernacle. I don't see that in the tabernacle or the temple of Ezra and Nehemiah. Actually, I guess there's five things that was not in that temple. So my purpose today is the spiritual temple. The spiritual temple meets Christ. The spiritual temple meets Christ. And we see, I think we turned to that earlier, Revelation 11, verse 15. And yes, we've read that. And then the seventh angel, through the previous chapters, there have been six trumpets. Disastrous trumpets in the day of the Lord on the earth. And then in the seventh, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So, brethren, I want to talk about the church being the spiritual temple. Also, Christ returns at the sound of the trumpet, and the temple rises and meets Christ. So let's look at church is the temple. We are portable, as that original tabernacle. We move when God moves, don't we? We move when God moves. We're on God's timetable. We can speculate about prophecy, end time. We're there, we're not there, but we're moving on God's time. We're not sure about that. We watch for things that God tells us to give us a clue what's happening. So we see there, as I said, I would turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And in verse 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with woman, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So we see we're talking about the church. We want to talk about the temple. You know, we know the original tabernacle and the temple was filled with God's glory. We won't need to turn back to Exodus 40, verse 34 to see that. And in Exodus 3, verse 17, God promised to go with Israel as long as they were striving to do God's will. And I don't think we need to go back and read them, but 2 Samuel 7, 6 says, I have moved about with a tent. I think we'll see that that's what we are. As he moves with us through our life, he is with us. As we say, I don't want to go if you're not going with me. I feel that should be our attitude. We see Solomon's temple was filled with that. I should turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And so I read that instead of, I guess, guessing at it. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And this is at Solomon's temple. And indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Eternal. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets, cymbals, and instruments of music, and praised the Eternal. I think there's a key there. Praising God, being always thankful, and being able to see that no matter what we face, God has a plan. It says, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Eternal was filled with a cloud, Solomon's temple, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Eternal filled that house. Brethren, we're in the process of coming to that. Let's look in John chapter 14. Yes, the church, that's us. God calls, chosen, are to be filled with the glory of God too. And here's what's happening. John 14, verse 20. And verse 23. Says, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself with him. Says, I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm going to be in you. And we know from John chapter 1, we don't need to go back to 1, but we know about the Word. And there in verse 18 it says, no one has seen God at any time. the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. So Jesus said that we will come and be with you. Church is the temple. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul prayed that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's a process of being filled. It's not immediately a filled vessel at baptism, but it will be filled. Verse 10. "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work." Being fruitful in every good work. There's always a work we can do, whatever our situation is. "Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, it says it will be strengthened in verse 11. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering and joy." Now, we are that temple, and we're being filled. The process of being filled. In verse 12, "giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So how's that happen? Verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." And that is a deliverance, and it takes power. "And conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love." That's how that comes about. Put into the Son, to the kingdom of the Son. And in verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin." And it goes on to describe Jesus here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the firstborn. He's the one that has ascended to heaven. It says no man has ascended to heaven. Jesus is the firstborn. And visible and invisible, whether, and by him all things, in verse 16, were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominion, principalities, and power. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Then it goes on that he is the head, verse 18, of the body. He is the head of this body. But he allows men to be in positions in this body. And sometimes you might think, why in the world is he doing that? Well, he has a plan and a reason, because he's sifting the chaff and the wheat. He is the head of the body, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Yes, in all things that he may have preeminence. He is before all things. I think we have read that. So you are the temple, and let's look at that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we see in verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" These are like, don't you know, or have you forgotten, or what? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in this temple that we are. You know, as those temples, tabernacles were filled with God's glory, God's Spirit. And let's see, where was I? Verse 16, verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. We are the temple. So are we going to defile it purposely? That'd be a mistake. If anyone defiles the temple, what does it say in the margin there? Destroys. The world's full of people that are step by step destroying their own body. And the temple of God is, if it's a converted person. God will destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. It gets really plain, our responsibility and what we are. You know, in this time of when we proclaim the trump of God and the return of Christ, and who's going to meet him, we'll talk about that. Let's look at chapter 6:19. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He's repeating this in the same book to the same people. Is that hard to people to comprehend? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You're no longer your own. No. We're not to destroy that temple. And your body is the temple. Isn't that what it says? Verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple? That word temple means to dwell or like a shrine. And it's your body. And then in 2 Corinthians, we turn over to the next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 16. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple, that's us, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We wouldn't want, you know what happened to the tabernacle at Shiloh? Other gods became part of that. What happened to Solomon's temple? What would happen to us as the temple of God if we allow, I'm talking deliberately, not out of ignorance if we haven't learned enough yet. But you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yes, we are that temple. And God dwells in us. Now I'd like to talk about Christ returns at the sound of the great trumpet. Talked about the church is the temple, kind of comparing it with the tabernacle and the temple of Solomon. So Christ returns at the sound of the trumpet. Matthew 24:30, we have read this, but we basically, most of us have probably read the whole Bible, so we'll read it again. You know, Matthew 24, verse 30. Especially on this day when we've dedicated our time, because this is what God has given us. This particular time, we're supposed to be dedicating it to God. Matthew 24, verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's got the great glory, and we're going to have glory also. And verse 31, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In the sky, in the clouds, he will gather. So there's no secret rapture. This is a blast of a trumpet. And we'll see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you would turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll see the blast of a trumpet, of the trump of God. Not a man-made trumpet, as we heard earlier this morning, you know, about the trumpet. But this is the trump of God. That was the trump at Mount Sinai. It wasn't a man blowing the trumpet. And so we hear and we see here, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's with a shout. This is not a whisper. It's not a secret thing. With the voice of an archangel. That's how he'll shout, with the voice of an archangel. And with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, Christ returns at the sound of this trumpet. Not a man-made trumpet. We saw, or we didn't read, but we know back in Revelations chapter 8 through 9, of the first trumpets, the angel sound. And then in Revelation 11:15, we read, the seventh trump, and the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord. And in verse 18 of that his servants are rewarded there in Revelation 11:18. His servants are rewarded. That's at the last trump. God, so we see that the church is the temple, and Christ returns with a great trumpet to receive that church, as we'll see. As we see now, that the temple rises to meet Christ. Yes, the temple rises to meet Christ. Again, we could go back to Matthew 24, verse 30. He sends his angels together, the elect. Together, the elect. And they will meet. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 50, we see, as we are in the flesh, we the body is the temple of Christ, or of God. It is the temple of God, but we're flesh and blood. And as flesh and blood, can we just go into the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. We are corruptible. Every day we're being a little more corrupted physically, unless we're still growing. But I tell you a mystery, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when at the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible. And we, Paul seems to believe that maybe he would still be alive. But either way, it works. We who remain shall be changed. We have God's Spirit. We are the temple as a physical being, but that physical being is going to be changed. And then in verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying, that it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is finally, it loses. Satan has the power of death. So let's just do a little conclusion with some of this. There are biblical records of the trumpet from Mount Sinai all the way through Revelation. As we could have read there in Exodus 19, verse 18 and 19. And when the trumpet sounded and became louder and louder, this is no physical human trumpet, Moses spoke and God answered him in the thunder. But the people didn't want to continue to hear God's voice. That's too scary. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35 through 36, it's saying that out of heaven, he said, he let you hear his voice. That's Moses speaking there. As we probably, most of us has read Deuteronomy chapter 4 lately. For out of heaven, he let you hear his voice. I would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Well, see, we've come to a different mountain. Remember Mount Sinai. Hebrews 12, verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire to blackness and thickness and trumpet. No, we haven't come to that mountain. Israel stood there and they couldn't bear God's voice. And verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them again. So why? In verse 20, for they could not endure what was commanded. They could not endure. But brethren, we are God's temple. We have God's Spirit, and we can endure. They could not endure. So it says, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And I said, I think I want to read some more there. In verse 22, but you have come, where have we come? To Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an immutable company of angels. And then verse 23, what does it say? To the general assembly. It says in the margin, a festival gathering. To the general assembly, that's where we've come. And the church of the firstborn. Church of the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn. This is his church. Who are registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Doesn't happen overnight. But it's to be made perfect. And in verse 24, to whom? To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, not at Mount Sinai, which they could not keep, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Yeah, Abel, he was killed out of vengeance. Christ died for mercy and forgiveness. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who? Verse 24, to Jesus. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him, that'd be at Mount Sinai, who spoke on earth. How much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? They heard the voice from heaven, but they turned away. They just could not do it. And who spoke from heaven? If we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice, in verse 26, then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yes, yet once more, I'm not just going to shake the earth, but also the heaven. Yes. Verse 27, now this, yet once more, indicate the removal of the things that are being shaken. Yeah, the fan is blowing the shaft. Those that can be shaken, as all things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those spiritual things that's being created in us, they're going to remain. Therefore, verse 28, since we receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Yeah, with reverence and godly fear. I think I will turn back to Joel chapter 2. I could just read that though with everybody turning. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Where? Not on Sinai. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. It is at hand. I mean, we can't set dates, any of that, but we know by what's happening in the world, and there's a lot of things that still have to happen. There's a lot of things that's not going to happen tomorrow. Okay, for we see him, Mount Zion, for we see, you know, we went from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. Okay. Everybody's asleep. I'm with you, okay? Okay. From Exodus through Revelation, we see this pattern going. The trumpet has played a part in God's plan since Mount Sinai, maybe before, I don't know. And it played a part in God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. So the message is, let us take heed. And we're here in Hebrews, look at chapter 13. I'll stop here. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. God's city is in heaven. We don't have a continuing city here. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. The Israelites offered sacrifices every day during the Feast of Tabernacles, didn't they? Seemed to me it indicate that we should show up at the feast every day. I mean, that's maybe that's a speculation, but they did. They had to offer sacrifices every day. Continuing offering the sacrifice, but we are to continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So we seek a kingdom to come, and it's a great blessing. And God has revealed this to us and given us these days to help us keep in touch with reality.